join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And, Dad, we're continuing in this theme of dating and truly seeking to delve into the scriptures and even in personal experience and what we've learned by God's grace in this whole issue of dating. By no means do we have the answers, but we feel like we can present some principles from God's word that will help guide and formulate good, healthy dating relationships that God would be pleased and glorified through, and hopefully end in marriage. So we're continuing on in that today.
I might just say this before we get started, is that this week's blog that I did is on the subject of a father's perspective on dating. It's real brief. Folks might want to go to visionforliving.org and check that out.
Absolutely. Visionforliving.org. You can check that blog out. It was just released Monday. What we want to talk about today is dating and the gospel. Now, we talk about the gospel all the time. I mean, obviously, we're called Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. So it's something we're very passionate about.
Right.
We believe very strongly that our understanding of the gospel will affect everything in life.
Yes.
And it does not exclude dating.
Right. I will say, though, when we first started talking about this, and I started giving it some thought, I'm saying, maybe we're stretching this a bit. The gospel and dating. Okay.
Right. But if you don't understand the gospel, and I'm okay with making this strong statement that I'm about to make. If you do not understand the gospel, then you will have trouble in your dating life. I really believe that is true. If you do not understand who Christ is in regards to your sin and what he has done for you, then you're going to have trouble in just relating with other people.
Right.
Really.
You might even say it this way: to the degree that you understand the gospel, to that degree, you will be more apt to have a biblically appropriate and healthy, yes, relationship with a person of the opposite gender.
Absolutely. And or with any relationship, for that matter. And we hope this ends in marriage. That's the idea, is that dating is not something we just play around with, but that we're hopefully going to end in marriage and have marriages that honor God, that are a reflection of his relationship with his bride, the church.
So
as we move along here, a passage that we want to kind of use as our launch point, as our pastor says, unpack.
Yeah.
He uses that phrase a lot. We want to unpack here is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 10. And maybe if you can just kind of read that for us so it sets the stage.
I will, and it'd be obvious that it's a kind of a brief statement by Paul of the gospel. So he begins in verse 1 saying, "Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen about above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or have died. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time, or born not at the proper time. For I am the least of the apostles, and that I am not meet or deserving to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me."
There's a lot there. There's a lot to...
A lot of gospel there.
A lot of gospel there, yeah. But what we want to do is we want to kind of step through it and talk about the different issues and different aspects of the gospel and relate to those, to the dating relationship. Why understanding of this is important in relating to the opposite gender that you're going to be engaging with. And the first thing that we really can bring out, which is where we must all start when we come to know Christ or to receive Christ and what he's done on the cross, is our depravity, our sinfulness.
Yes. And that's where Paul starts. Christ died for our sins, the whole issue of the sinner's need, the sinner's helplessness and utter depravity. And if we're going to approach a relationship, a premarital, opposite gender relationship, and even a marital relationship. But if we're going to approach this relationship, we need to have some sense of first man's depravity, but make it more personal, our own depravity. We step into a relationship. Mm-hmm. We all step into relationships carrying some baggage.
Right.
Now, some people.
Some more than others.
Some carry some pretty heavy baggage, and some maybe not so heavy. But we all have certain things that are a part of our past that we bring with us. And those things are tainted by and affected by our own sin. And we struggle to overcome certain hang-ups, or whatever you call it.
Right.
All of this is part of our depraved nature.
Well, and I think there's a need to understand that God has forgiven that individual. When he starts, or she starts, talking about this struggle that they've had in the past and that they still have to work through in their life, God's forgiving that. And if he's forgiven that, so must we. Now, obviously, if they're still living in a pattern of this sin, then there's cause and reason for concern.
Right.
But I often think about how we people who have grown up in church, we've, you know, been in Christian families, and so we wouldn't find ourselves marrying someone who has a past. And I put quotations around that.
Right.
Because we want to marry somebody who doesn't have a past. But
at
honestly,
least not a certain kind of past,
you don't know that always until you get to know someone, and then they go, oh, by the way, I have slept with someone.
Yeah.
I have done, but I for the last 5 years, I've been a believer. I've been walking faithfully.
Yeah.
You have to honestly come to grips and go, this person is a pure, justified sinner.
Well, you know that in years past, there was a time when you would have pretty much taken it for granted. If a person wasn't married, they probably were married.
But it's not so now.
Now, that wasn't necessarily so, but it was much more likely then. Now, we live in a day when all taboos are gone. Most people are sexually active, and they start being sexually active early in their teenage years.
Right.
Some earlier, depending on the situation. So, for a person to find someone who's not been sexually active would be pretty unusual.
Yeah, another thing that I would bring out is not only this idea of your viewpoint of how you view that person and that they are forgiven, but also it's good to talk about the struggles. I know when Michelle and I were dating, one of the very first things we did when we first started talking was just talking about our struggles, the things that we have struggled in the past, the things that I remember she asked me things like, so what would you say is your greatest struggle right now? As you walk in your life, and what she meant by that, like she would ask it specifically, like with your family or with your friends, or what are those things that you find that you constantly have? Do you get angry over anything? We just talk to those issues,
right?
But realizing that we are depraved, but we are forgiven,
right,
in Christ. So moving along here, the next thing we see is sacrifice,
right?
And how does this relate to the marriage or to dating, which hopefully leads to marriage?
Yeah,
we die to self for the sake of the person.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the little word there in the Greek, there are two words for the word for in English. One is the word for, it's the word gar in Greek, and it just means you go to town for something. But when you use the word huper, it means substitution instead of sacrifice. Christ died in our place. He laid down his life for his sheep. He loved his church and gave himself up for her. And that is what the husband, in the beginning, at least to some degree, a dating man and a woman had to both give themselves up for the other person.
Which I think you have to ask yourself, if a guy's not willing to invest time, in some ways, no matter what it takes, like finances, time, even the distance, if there's some distance, if he's not willing to do that and to give himself to that, then you kind of got to ask yourself, what is he going to do when he gets in a marriage relationship?
It says something about the seriousness of the person.
I mean, I've heard of guys who live just a couple hours away, but they don't go see their girlfriend, and you're like,
and feel put out if they had to.
Yeah, and I'm like, you either love her or you don't. You either like her or you don't.
You love somebody, you won't be around.
I mean, I was thousands of miles away from Michelle. I'd have been there every weekend if I could have. Right. Couldn't, because why? It wasn't wise to spend that much money on tickets.
Right.
But man, when I could, I did.
Right. Yeah.
And it was sacrificial. I had to take off time from work.
Right.
I had to spend money on tickets, but it's okay.
There has to be a willingness to lay down our lives.
Absolutely. So there's depravity, there's a need for understanding God's sacrifice, and how we as men in particular need to apply that, I think, for sure, and women. But then there's the resurrection. We bring resurrection life to the relationship.
Yeah, the passage says he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, obviously this passage is not speaking about marriage. What we're trying to see is some of the carryovers of gospel implications and applications here. And yes, we bring witness, we bring resurrection life to a dating relationship. We need, yes. That needs to be in our mind.
Or in any relationship.
Yeah, that is true. We're talking specifically about dating and then marriage. We bring resurrection life. If I know Christ, I have the resurrection life of Christ in me. And my relationship with this person should be impacted by, profoundly impacted by, the reality of the resurrected life of Christ.
Right. And I think where we can further make our case, you bring that up, how it doesn't directly in 1 Corinthians talk about marriage.
Right.
But in Ephesians, we have the whole situation of Christ's relationship with the church being compared to the marriage relationship.
Right.
And in some ways, the dating relationship, God willing, hopefully leads to marriage. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's preparatory for that. You're
right.
Working, you're seeing if you can live in that resurrected way.
Which, by the way, just as an aside here, a person ought not date someone they wouldn't think there's at least the potential for marriage with that person.
Oh, no. Yeah. There needs to be a seriousness
you need to
here.
Play around with this.
Yeah, we're not here for games. We're not talking about...
Or for personal pleasure.
The
yeah.
old high school,
yeah.
We're going to date around, have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to one big life of whoopee, and it's all about me.
Right.
You know, and I think there has to be some sense of compatibility here that we both can live a resurrected life towards one another. You know?
Right.
And to me, that challenges me because I'm like, as a married man who has dated not, pretty recently, last year, and now is married, it's like, how am I living? There's a resurrected life.
Yeah.
And I remember very distinctly, there were times when Michelle and I were talking, and there were issues that came up, and we had to work through maybe things that she was struggling with. I know she has a lot of physical problems. And I knew as a married man, I was going to have to live with her in
right.
those physical problems.
And dwell
in a
resurrected way.
Right, in a resurrected way.
Yeah,
in a way of life that
yeah.
is reflecting Christ.
Exactly.
And if you can't do it when you're dating, you sure as heck not going to be able to do it when you are, when
right.
you're married. I'm just going to
And Christ
put it
didn't
away.
Die for perfect people, not for sinful people. We marry sinful people. So you remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Depravity, sacrifice, resurrection. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we've looked at these three. The next thing is Christ was seen.
Yeah, I said.
How does that work?
Well, there were those who bore witness to the resurrection of Christ. And it seems to me that we bear witness to the living Lord in this relationship. We are bearing witness. However we do this, remember, is a reflection upon the risen Lord. And it should be that we bear positive testimony to the fact that Jesus is risen, yes, risen indeed, as we work it through this and live out this relationship now before others. That says a lot about what we do in private, what we do in front of other people. There's all kinds of implications for this, bearing witness of the resurrected life of Christ.
I mean, anything from the purity in your dating relationship
yes. yeah.
to the secret thoughts that a man has toward
right.
her before he gets married,
right.
Just how you talk and speak to one another, the things
yeah.
that you talk about, the
yeah.
depth that you go to, the willingness to sacrifice, as we mentioned,
yeah.
the willingness to understand the person that you're working with is a sinner, they're totally depraved, but thank God they're saved. All of this, we live in this harmony and this fellowship, realizing that we're going to show Christ as we live with him in this way.
This is the gospel motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. This is the motivating reason why we date. We don't
yeah.
date for ourselves. We date for the glory of God.
Right.
As Piper would say. You
and
know, he's always about the glory of God. Exactly.
But it's not.
Not that it's not pleasurable.
It should be that we are moving toward a very pleasurable end in this if we get married.
Right.
But the primary thing is the glory of Christ.
Well, and there isn't even in, I know we're getting close to our time here, but there's still some pleasure in dating in the sense of you enjoy that person.
Yeah, who doesn't?
You enjoy
what
being
man
with
doesn't
them.
Love to be with a woman or a woman
yeah,
love to be with a
absolutely.
Man?
Absolutely. Okay, so Christ was seen, and then we demonstrate God's grace.
Yeah,
ultimately.
It's interesting that Paul goes on to say in this context that he was like one born out at the wrong time, and yet he labored more abundantly than all the apostles. And then he says, but it wasn't I. It was the grace of God that was with me. And this we want to realize that this relationship should demonstrate the reality of the grace of God.
Right.
Grace is free. Grace is to sinners who don't deserve it. Grace is evidenced by the power of God's working in and through us in our lives. This should be demonstrated in this relationship. Before others, to the other person. The other person should see the grace of God being manifest in my life if I'm dating. I should see the grace of God demonstrated in that person's life. We are manifesting the grace of God.
By living out the things we just talked about.
Yeah, by living out the gospel.
You know, it's interesting, when I was dating Michelle last year, that's one of the things that stood out to me the most, is that there was a graciousness that came from her as we worked through things and worked through things. It challenged me for the need to live in grace. I find myself not wanting to be a gracious person. I can be like, no, that's not right, you know, but not willing to offer grace as grace has been offered to me.
No one should be more gracious than a Christian.
Yeah. Right. And
no man should be more gracious to anyone than his wife.
And even her family was very gracious, very kind and gracious to me. And I think it's not just the guy and girl, but everyone else is involved. There needs to be grace. Yeah. It needs to be saturated and surrounded in grace.
Abounding evidences of grace.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've run close to our time here. But remember this, grace begets action.
Yeah.
And grace begets a dating relationship, or furthermore, a marriage relationship that reflects Christ.
That's right. Grace is not static.
Gospel. No.
It's an active attribute of God that He shares in the life of believers.
Absolutely. So hopefully this has offered some insight from how the gospel totally has implication for the dating relationship in our lives. So thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.